Today on the Political Theory of Everything, I will be giving you your daily dose of news for today's date, Thursday, December 23rd. All right, and to start off our news today, we have an article from Fox News. The title of this one, Ethan Crumbly's mom admits to don't do it text, but it wasn't about the school shooting. Alrighty, the subtitle is Lawyers for Ethan Crumbly's Parents Say They Are Devastated by the Michigan School Shooting. This was in Oxford with that one teacher who saw the note for the student. That was very disturbing. Parents were called in and all of that, yet nothing happened. And then later that same student shot the school up. Four people passed. Four minors passed. The mother of suspected Michigan high school shooter Ethan Crumbly sent a text to her son the day of the shooting urging him not to do it. But lawyers for the parents say the text was to urge Crumbly not to commit suicide. Interesting. Quote, the Crumblys, like every parent and community member, are devastated by the school shooting. The last thing they expected was that a school shooting would take place or that their son would be responsible, end quote, said defense attorney Shannon Smith and co-counsel Mariel Lehman said. They said that in a court filing. Jennifer Crumbly sent a text to her son the day of the shooting reading, quote, don't do it, end quote, Smith acknowledged. But the lawyer said that it was a plea for Crumbly not to commit suicide following the shooting that already occurred, Fox 2 Detroit reported. Oakland County, Michigan prosecutor Karen McDonald has also cited the text in a hearing on the case. Quote, after the active shooting announcement went out, Mrs. Crumbly texted her son, Ethan, don't do it. And Mr. Crumbly went to his home purposely to search for his weapon because he was afraid his son had the weapon and was in fact shooting people and hurting them, which he, as we know, is exactly what happened, end quote. That is from Karen McDonald, the Michigan prosecutor. Crumbly was charged with one count of terrorism causing death, four counts of first-degree murder, seven counts of assault with intent to murder, and 12 counts of possession of a firearm and the commission of a felony. He pleaded not guilty and is being held without bail. Interesting. My assumption here is that his prison time wouldn't change by pleading not guilty, or hopefully he can get some, probably he's maybe plead insanity. I don't know what he's going to try to do here, or because he's a minor, yeah, they're going to plead not guilty. But interesting move. It was revealed earlier this month that school officials met with Crumbly and his parents to discuss the violent drawings just hours before the deadly rampage, as I mentioned. The 15-year-old suspect was able to convince them during the meeting that the concerning drawings were for a, quote, video game, end quote. His parents flatly refused to take their son home, according to the school. Quote, on the morning of November 30th, a teacher observed concerning drawings and written statements that have been detailed in media reports, which the teacher reported to school counselors and the dean of students. The student was immediately removed from the classroom and brought to the guidance counselor's office, where he claimed the drawing was part of a video game he was designing and informed counselors that he planned to pursue video game design as a career, end quote. Oxford Community Schools Superintendent Tim Thorne wrote in a letter sent to the Oxford High School community. His parents, Jennifer and James Crumbly, have been charged with four counts of involuntary manslaughter in the case. They are being held on $500,000 bond each, or a total of $1 million, and their lawyers requested their bonds be lowered to $100,000 on Wednesday. So there's an update in that case. We'll see where that continues on from there. But obviously, a massive amount of negligence by at least the parents, but you could argue the school, for the backpack not even to be looked at. But I'll keep you updated on that case as it goes on with both the parents and Ethan Crumbly, although it will probably be a bit of time, but we'll see. Maybe not. We move on to an article from CNN. The title of this one, Afghanistan's First President Wants the World to Work with the Taliban, which is, I wonder why. It's just the first president of Afghanistan after the Taliban takes over wants everyone to work with the Taliban. The first president from back before, after the Taliban got taken over. So it's a former president that's saying this after the Taliban has taken over Afghanistan and done all the things that they did. So it's a former president, not to create confusion. Former Afghanistan President Hamid Karzai believes it is now time for the international community to work with the Taliban to prevent millions of people from starving to death. Afghanistan is very different from the Taliban, obviously, as the Taliban had to move to take over Afghanistan. And as we see here, he even recognizes the horrible things that the Taliban are going to be doing to the Afghanistan people, or the Afghani people, as we see here, prevent millions of people from starving to death. Yet, our military kept our promises to them to get out by August, whatever it was. Are you serious? And then leave behind over $80 billion worth of military supplies. And that's what's weird is, the US military, or the United States of America, will give the Taliban over $80 billion of helicopters and all these other things. And yet in California, you can't even have over 6 rounds in your gun. But how come America trusts the Taliban with $80 billion worth of their weapons, but America doesn't even trust us with 6 rounds? I find that mind blowing, how they just let that all that stay behind, and we easily out. Are more powerful than the Taliban, and we let them absolutely manhandle us. But we continue on. In an exclusive interview with CNN's Becky Anderson, Karzai, whatever it is, said the international community needs to prioritize getting much-needed aid to Afghans and for now put its mistrust of the Taliban aside. Quote, "The reality on the ground is that the Taliban are now the de facto authorities in the country," he said. The Taliban, or sorry, end quote. The Taliban took control of Afghanistan after a rapid and somewhat unexpected military blitz this summer. Oh, yes, unexpected, because there's no way we could have responded to it. There's no way. But the capital, Kabul, fell shortly after the last U.S. troop, that's not, okay, troop left the country. Effectively ending the longest war in U.S. history and ceding power in the same group Washington had ousted shortly after the initial invasion in 2001. So that's really good. That's what I want to hear, that, the people we got rid of and needed to get rid of, took back over. That is the outcome that I was looking for in this. Karzai became the first democratically elected president after the Taliban's initial collapse. Much of the world has yet to formally recognize a new Taliban government out of fear they would govern as the group did when last in power in the 1990s. I wonder why you would think that, as if they aren't already hanging people. This is the thing, they're hanging people from American helicopters and flying them around. That's really good stuff. Like, are you serious? And we let this happen. We let this happen. Under the Taliban's rule, women were barred from education and most jobs, while men were forced to grow beards under the group's draconian interpretations of Islamic law. When asked about how the world could get behind a group responsible for documented cases of atrocities, extrajudicial executions, and killings, Karzai said, quote, "The issue of atrocities is a very unfortunate part of our lives," end quote. He added, "The atrocities have been committed," quote, "by all sides," end quote. Basically, worldwide, countries have frozen billions of dollars in aid to Afghanistan, and the U.S. proposed measure comes as the Biden administration has faced mounting pressure to ease the restrictions to support flowing into Afghanistan, particularly given the increasing dire humanitarian crisis in the country. I'm going to read a quick tweet from someone on the left. They ended up deleting it. But it's like this just leftist celebrity, and it's not meant to represent the left. I'm just saying who the person was. So the tweet reads, so the tweet was later deleted, as I said, but it says, quote, "Don't you find it odd that women in America are being treated worse than women in Afghanistan? We wasted $2 trillion plus to go to Afghanistan to liberate their women and children? Something ain't right here, folks. Are you catching on yet?" End quote. As we just said, women weren't allowed to get education. I'm just going to ask for the women in the audience, have you been barred from education or any pretty much all jobs? I don't think so. That alone, we're not even talking about the other things that they do to them, just those two things automatically show how America is at least a teensy bit better for women over Afghanistan, maybe just the tiniest bit, just a small bit. Totally not a massive difference between how women are treated there versus here. But we continue on. Basically, that's an update somewhat on the situation there, being that aid is being cut. slowly, but it's happening. Aid to Afghanistan that's still being sent for some reason. Who knows what reason that is, but it is slowing down. So good news there. We move on. I heard about this article. I was told this article. I was given this article by someone, and I am here reading it to you all because it is quite an interesting and unexpected headline. But here we are. Title from Fox 26 News Henry. Dr. Oz quits show, runs for Senate to hold Fauci accountable. Interesting. I mean, that's the last, honestly, that's like one of the last articles I expected to ever see. I forgot Dr. Oz existed almost, but here we go. Years ago, I was a frequent guest on the Dr. Oz show, but you wouldn't know it today. Virtually all the videos have been scrubbed from the internet, though I did find one from 2014 when I spoke about the benefits of astaxanthin on his show. At the time, Dr. Mehmet Oz was best known for his daytime television show featuring alternative and complementary health information. People were drawn to his natural, often drug-free advice for staying well. For instance, he's a fan of herbal medicines. In 2014, speaking with Today, he touted the benefits of cinnamon for diabetics and pre-diabetics, mint for digestive health, sage oil for memory, and parsley to protect against ultraviolet radiation. He also recommended rosemary to provide alertness and described valerian root as, quote, nature's Valium, end quote. However, the Dr. Oz show, now in its 13th season, is slated to end January 14th, 2022, because Oz is running for U.S. Senate in Pennsylvania. In many markets, the show has already ended due to the Federal Communications Commission's equal time rule, which requires that political candidates be given equal airtime by television broadcasters. On Twitter, Oz wrote, quote, I've taken on Big Pharma, geez. I've gone to battle with big tech. I've gone up against agrochem companies, and I've got scars to prove it. I am ready to take on Washington and empower the voters of Pennsylvania. End quote. Oz also said this. The article continues a bit, but Oz has been criticized during the pandemic for several controversial statements that go against the official narrative. Among them is his open criticism for Dr. Anthony Fauci. Speaking to the New York Post, Oz called for Fauci to be held accountable. Quote, Dr. Anthony Fauci has lost the faith and confidence of the American people. It's time for a new face talking to the American people, one that is more trusted. I believe Anthony Fauci should be held accountable for misleading, whether willfully or unintentionally, the American public and the United States Congress. The media has also, sorry, end quote. The media has also elevated Fauci, the director of the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases, to the point of near deity, giving him the nickname America's Doctor. And Dr. Oz has also been called America's Doctor. Fauci told one of his pernicious lies that there is no scientific evidence that the coronavirus was made in a Chinese lab in May 2020. And Fauci quoted, If you look at the evolution of the virus in bats and what's out there now, the scientific evidence is very, very strongly leaning toward this could not have been artificially or deliberately manipulated. Everything about the stepwise evolution over time strongly indicates that this virus evolved in nature and then jumped species, end quote. And yet, that's now what's believed. It was leaked out of that Wuhan lab, even though nobody talks about it anymore. Nobody talks about what's happening in Afghanistan anymore. These things are still happening. And we now see that's actually what happened. And one of the main reasons he probably was saying, no, let's not look at the Wuhan lab, is because he provided funding to the Wuhan lab, no matter whether or not it went to coronavirus or not, it still went to gain of function research, which we do not allow here in America, unless that's changed, but I'm pretty sure we don't allow that in America, so why is he funding it overseas? Oz's was targeted for mentioning hydrochloroquine for COVID-19. Hydrochloroquine is a zinc ionophore and is one of the medications that's been blacklisted by the media. Those who speak about it have been discredited and silenced. Oz was an early supporter of the drug, telling Fox and Friends in April 2020 that it could be useful for treating COVID-19. Quote, There's no question it's not proven to be beneficial in the largest clinical trials we expect in America, and certainly the FDA and medical societies would desire, but these have been supported with case studies. End quote. November 30th of 2021, Business Insider used this as an example of Oz making, quote, false, baseless, or misleading scientific claims, end quote. However, HCQ, hydrochloroquine, was part of the frontline COVID-19 critical care working groups protocol for the first 6 months of the pandemic. Interesting. They later swapped quercetin for hydrochloroquine. At this time, the death rate for COVID-19 patients at United Memorial Medical Center in Houston was 4.4%, compared to a death rate of about 20% at other hospitals. So that's a huge difference. Where hydroxychloroquine, was used, there was 4.4 versus 20% where it wasn't. However, in June of 2020, the NIH halted a clinical trial of hydroxychloroquine after stating that while the drug wasn't harmful, it also wasn't beneficial to hospitalized patients. Backlash ensued following the NIH announcement, and FLCCC phased out the use of hydroxychloroquine in its protocols. Over-the-counter alternatives to hydroxychloroquine included EGCG, which is green tea extract, and quercetin, both of which are zinc ionophores and work much like hydroxychloroquine does. It continues on just talking about how he's criticized things, but he criticized the handling of the pandemic, including lockdowns, and he also said that, quote, Florida's mortality rate from COVID is lower than the national average among those over 65 and also among younger people, so that the state's age-adjusted COVID mortality rate is lower than that of all but 10 other states. And by the most important measure, the overall rate of excess mortality, the number of deaths above normal, Florida has also done better than the national average, end quote. So that's an interesting story right there. We have Dr. Oz running for U.S. Senate. He probably honestly has a good chance, especially if he's running on the basis of holding Fauci accountable in the right areas. That will take him exceedingly far, which I imagine he's going to be running in, for U.S. Senate. I mean, yeah, I guess he's the whole state's voting for him, actually. So that's going to be huge. If that's like one of his basis for running, we'll see how Pennsylvania feels about Fauci, especially off of this election that's coming up for Senate in Pennsylvania, or U.S. Senate in Pennsylvania. But we continue on to the Blaze Media. And this one is titled, World Health Organization Investigates Mystery Illness That Has Reportedly Killed Almost 100 People in Sudan. So we just can't get enough of mysterious illnesses in the world, can we? It's almost like they're a normal thing, but are now just being blown up because of the media. Anyways, we move on to the article. Investigators from the World Health Organization are investigating an outbreak of an as yet unknown illness that has reportedly killed almost 100 people in southern Sudan and Africa, according to ABC News. The symptoms of the illness reportedly include cough, diarrhea, a fever, headache, chest pain, joint pain, loss of appetite, and body weakness, and thus far, none of the patients who have contracted the symptoms have tested positive for any known disease. The deaths have flummoxed the health department's officials in Sudan, which is also dealing with massive flooding that has wrought considerable devastation in the area. Indeed, the flooding has been so severe that the team of researchers from whom WHO had to be brought into the area via helicopter. The WHO team reportedly has already ruled out cholera, which would normally be the first suspect in an area devastated by flooding, as a potential cause of illness. According to ABC News, most of those who have died thus far have either been very elderly or very young. The BBC reports that the WHO began investigating the outbreak as early as November, but only recently sent a team in onto the ground to collect samples. A local government official told ABC News that the WHO team left the area on Wednesday but did not communicate their findings to local officials. The area of Sudan where the outbreak has occurred is the site of frequent sectarian conflict, flooding, and malnutrition, making it an ideal breeding ground for infectious diseases. Other than indicating that the water in the area has tested negative for cholera, the World Health Organization has not indicated any belief as to what the illness in question might be or how it might be transmitted. So there you have Omicron. And then you have another disease right here from Sudan. And we'll have to see if this actually ends up posing any threat. But as of now, we do not have any information on it. We don't have a name for it, whether it's a new name or an old name that's already been around. We will find out probably, hopefully, very soon, within, I imagine, a month, if not weeks. But it's interesting that WHO has not said anything to any of the leaders of Sudan after taking all those samples. But I guess we'll have to see what the World Health Organization has in plan for all of these samples and everything that they grabbed from there. I imagine it's nothing. It doesn't say how many people were infected. 100 people died, but there also could have been a massive amount of people infected. And also in a country where there's millions, like Sudan, 100 people dying is not too massive of a worry, especially because we don't see it seem to be really spreading as of now, or else I feel like we would see more and outside of this area. So that's also good news, and hopefully it stays that way. But until we are actually given an update, we move on to CVS. Title: Washington, D.C. to require proof of vaccination for restaurants, gyms, and other indoor settings as COVID-19 cases skyrocket. So we read yesterday about South Africa and how theirs has already gone down just as quickly as it went up. So even though we're skyrocketing right now, we're about to just plummet to the earth if we follow the same trend as other places such as South Africa. But until we see that spike drop, we will read this article. It starts, people in the District of Columbia will soon be required to show proof of vaccination before entering many indoor establishments as COVID-19 cases in the city skyrocket. The recent surge comes as the Omicron variant spreads across the U.S. and around the world, prompting new safety precautions and worldwide concern. Quote, I don't make any of these types of decisions lightly. End quote, Mayor Muriel Bowser said Wednesday at a briefing. Beginning January 15th, those aged 12 and older will be required to show proof of at least one dose of an approved vaccine to enter establishments, including restaurants, nightclubs, coffee shops, concert venues, movie theaters, and gyms. So those 12 and older will not have to show ID anymore. It seems as though you just need one dose of the approved vaccine to enter establishments, including nightclubs. So 12-year-olds, now without an 18-year-old ID, all they need is a vaccine and they can enter nightclubs. It looks as though that's what this article is trying to say. We continue on. People will not have the option of testing out of the mandate, Bowser said. As of February 15th, those 12 and other older will be required to show full proof of full vaccination in order to enter those same places. So we have January 15th being one shot, February 15th being two. Businesses will also be required to inform patrons before entering their establishment that proof of vaccine is required by January 15th. People can provide proof of vaccine by displaying their CDC-issued vaccination card, a digital photo of it, or a COVID-19 vaccine verification app. Bowser also said the Washington, D.C. City Council has approved a vaccine requirement for eligible public school students beginning March 1st, and that she and the city will do everything in their powers to keep schools open. The announcement comes days after Bowser reimposed a mask mandate in D.C. as local infections rise. The districts have seen a tremendous jump in COVID-19 cases, with 1,200 positive cases reported each day over the last several days, and a case rate 9 times higher than what was reported last month, according to Patrick Ashley, Senior Deputy Director of the D.C. Department of Health. He said there have been 25 confirmed Omicron cases in the city, as the fast-spreading variant now accounts for a majority of the nation's new cases. Quote, we're being hit hard. There is a lot of COVID in the community. We have had a lot of testing, but we have also had a lot of transmission. End quote. I don't know how we've had a lot of testing, but a lot of transmission. That makes sense. Okay. But despite the recent uptick in cases, hospitalizations and death due to virus complications in D.C. have generally stayed around the same rate so far. Interesting. Quote, even with everything that we do, we can see more cases, but the fact that we can report the level of case rise that we've experienced and have fewer people in the hospital that we had last month is remarkable. It's a testament to how effective the vaccine is and how maybe this variant has and how this variant has evolved to be. End quote. So obviously the vaccine gets more credit than the variant in this one, ignoring all the studies that we've read coming out of South Africa and other places. It's definitely the vaccine, 100% is what she says, and it maybe has something to do with the variant, but wouldn't it be not so much the vaccine, but more so the booster shot, at least in relation directly to Omicron, as we've heard about from health professionals that the second shot doesn't seem to be doing much, but the booster does, but I don't know. That's, who knows anymore, honestly, with all of this stuff going on. But that is the article right there. I believe that Washington, D.C. is also trying to push that on the private schools, even though the article did not mention it. I'll try to figure out, like, the extent of all of these new COVID vaccine requirements. And then Until then, probably try to figure that out for you tomorrow. We have two more articles, both from the Daily Wire. One of them is more of a quick statistic read, and the other one is relating to a recent court case that has been all over the news. Title: Breaking. Ex-police officer Kim Potter found guilty in death of Dante Wright. And the article starts. Former police officer Kim Potter was found guilty of first and second degree manslaughter in the death of Dante Wright on Thursday. And the jury's decision comes after roughly 27 hours of deliberation. Deliberation began on Monday after closing arguments from the prosecution and Potter's defense team. Potter's sentencing is scheduled for February 18th. So the first degree charge, sorry, carries a potential sentence for up to 15 years, and the second degree charge carries a maximum sentence of 10 years. The trial mostly wrapped up last week on Friday after Potter testified in her own defense. During her testimony, she broke down multiple times, expressing remorse for what happened on April 11th when she fatally shot Wright, a 20-year-old black man. Potter shot Wright while attempting to tase the young man as he struggled with and attempted to flee police. Potter's defense team has never contested that she mistakenly pulled her gun when she meant to pull her taser, and that the mistake led to Wright's death. Instead, the defense has painted a sympathetic picture of a person stuck in a chaotic and dangerous situation where split-second decisions had to be made. The prosecution argued that Potter's lethal mistake is grossly negligent and inexcusable. Quote, "This was no oopsie. This not putting the wrong date on a check. This was not entering the wrong password. This was a colossal screw-up, a blunder of epic proportions. It was precisely the thing she was warned about for years. It was irreversible and it was fatal," end quote, said prosecutor Aaron Eldridge in the closing arguments on Monday. Potter is one of several police officers who stopped Wright on April 11th over expired registration tags. While checking his information, authorities discovered that Wright had an open warrant for a gun charge out for his arrest. Wright struggled with police officers after they attempted to detain him. Wright got back into his vehicle and struggled with one officer over the gear shift of the vehicle as the two struggled. Potter pulled her gun and after shouting taser, she fatally shot Wright. Potter broke down multiple times while testifying last week. In one exchange with Eldridge, Potter began to apologize for killing Wright. Basically a freak accident, but definitely accountability needs to be in this incident, as cops are trained in their training, and as multiple cops have said about this, you really as a cop, you need to know the difference between taser and gun, not so much in holding it, but in reaching for it. You practice: when I yell taser and I'm grabbing for my taser, this is what I'm doing. When I yell gun or whatever it is, I know where I'm grabbing. And that this should be something a cop knows, and a cop understands, and a cop knows how to do. And even if it is an accident, it was still a life taken because of negligence is the simplest way to put it, as they said in the prosecution, just negligence here by the cop, Kim Potter, and how it's supposed to be something simple for a cop and second nature. It's supposed to be like speaking English to them. It's just supposed to be natural for when you say taser, you grab the taser, you don't grab the gun. And so a massive, massive slip up by the cop here, but we'll see what she ends up getting. We'll find out in a month and a half, I guess, is when the sentencing happens. And we'll be able to update you then, but she's facing a maximum basically of about 15 years. I mean, sorry, geez, 25 years, 15 and then 10, so 25. I mentioned this next article in certain way, somewhat in the last podcast, but we're just going to go on an article that more specializes in something that I did bring up. So this is once again from the Daily Wire. I saw both of these. I wanted to mention Kim Potter, and I also want to mention this, so I just chose both of them. Title: Omicron 80% less likely to lead to hospitalization than Delta researchers say. So researchers for a new study say Omicron appears to be milder than the Delta variant of COVID-19, leading to up to 80% fewer hospitalizations. Of the people who contract the contract the virus and are hospitalized, they're also 70% less likely to be admitted into the intensive care unit or be put on a ventilator compared to those with Delta. The Daily Mail reported on the study led by South Africa's National Institute for Communicable Diseases. This is one that was mentioned to be not peer-reviewed, I'm guessing. Quote, so even though the cases for Omicron were less likely to end up in hospital than cases of Delta, it is not possible to say whether this is due to inherent differences in virulence or whether this is due to higher population immunity in November compared to earlier this year, end quote, said Paul Hunter, a professor of medicine at the UK's University of East Anglia. And that's what he told the Daily Mail. Another study found much of the same. Quote, a separate study out of Scotland by scientists of the University of Edinburgh and other experts suggested that the risk of hospitalizations was two-thirds less with Omicron than Delta, but that the study pointed out that the nearly 24,000 Omicron cases in Scotland were predominantly among younger adults ages 20 to 39. Younger people are much less likely to develop severe cases of COVID-19, end quote, said the that whole thing was from the Associated Press. We'll continue on. There's a few more studies I'll continue to read. Quote, this national investigation is one of the first to show that Omicron is less likely to result in COVID-19 hospitalizations than Delta. They are encouraging, end quote, the AP said, which is from other researchers. Neither of the studies has yet to be peer-reviewed. Right there, there it is again. Meanwhile, according to a report from the British government, which will release the early data in the coming days, the Omicron variant of SARS-CoV-2 is milder than the Delta variant. The UK Health Security Agency, which operates much like the US Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, found out that those who contract Omicron are less likely to become severely ill compared to people who get the Delta variant, according to the data reports Politico. Politico is left-leaning, so for them to say that is huge, just like for Washington Post to say that stuff about the skyrocketing case and then plummeting cases is huge. We continue on. Quote, more people are likely to have a mild illness with less serious symptoms, probably in part due to Britain's large number of vaccinated and previously infected people, and possibly because Omicron may be intrinsically milder. Chief Medical Officer Chris Whitty has previously cautioned against too much optimism based on the initial optimistic signs from South Africa in the past few weeks. However, the UKHSA, which is their version of CDC, view after studying cases in Britain is that Omicron is indeed usually less severe than Delta, end quote. The report included one caveat, quote, the less good news is that while Omicron seems milder overall, it has not been found to necessarily, it is not necessarily mild enough to avoid large numbers of hospitalizations. The expert have found evidence that for those who do become seriously ill, there's still a high chance of hospitalization and death, end quote. Okay, we're going to just keep going with the quotes because we're basically done. Quote, the UKHSA, or the British CDC, has also confirmed that the transmissibility of Omicron is very high, meaning that even if though it is milder, infections could rocket to the point where large numbers still end up in hospital, hospitals, meaning essentially negating the reduction in severity. NHS staff shortages due to widespread infections have also have to be taken into account. Boris Johnson said on Tuesday that there is still uncertainty on exactly how severe Omicron is and how this impacts the hospitalization rate, end quote, said the report. Another UK study of early data about the Omicron variant has found that the most common symptoms are akin to the common cold. The Zoe COVID system study, which has been tracking symptoms reported by participants using a smartphone app, reported that the top five symptoms of Omicron are runny nose, headache, fatigue, sneezing, and sore throat. Oh, I hate sore throats. The data were collected between December 3rd and 10th in London. So that's the entirety of the article that I just read to you right there. A lot of quotes from studies, which is why I wanted to just actually read it all the way through. But we see, just based off the initial data, that COVID, Omicron COVID, at least seems to be less severe. What they were saying at the end there is basically that even if, we'll use simple numbers, 5% of people would die for Omicron versus the 10% that usually would die for Delta, just random numbers we're pulling out, that, you know, instead of 100 people getting infected and then 10 of them dying, what's going to happen is 200 people get infected and 10 of them die. So they're saying that the number of people infected will be so much higher potentially that the amount of deaths ends up being equal as if it was Delta. But we'll have to see if that actually happens. For South Africa, that was not the case, and it seems as of now for other places it's not the case. And we saw from the White House they're saying that this is supposed to be a winter of death and illness, severe illness for the unvaccinated. Yet here we see it doesn't seem to be causing problems for almost anyone. But we're a couple of weeks in, so we'll actually have to see with those numbers, and we'll see as these studies come out what it actually is going to look like. But as of now, it seems as though 3 weeks from now, a month from now, Omicron is going to be a thing of the past. It's not going to be as big of an issue, as we can see in South Africa happening right now, especially as over 70%, I believe, of the U.S. population is vaccinated. So, if that does help at all, then that should also help us, because that's what they're saying in South Africa helped. So that should also help us, even though we have a much, 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 much bigger population. But we will see how the data actually turns out for those studies. Hopefully, they can get peer reviewed, and we can find out more about the numbers. See, 80% less likely to hospitalize than Delta. Is that true? Is it higher? Is it lower? It's going to be important numbers to figure out. But it does seem as though the White House press briefing that I read to you yesterday about how it's going to be a winter of severe illness and death for everyone, it is not going to come true. But we will see very shortly, as we are in the winter. And that pretty much concludes all of the news for today. That was a lot, and I tried to be quick with it. But I hope you enjoy your Thursday. You are so close to Christmas. Merry Christmas. Thank you so much for joining.